So I'm Nisha Bochwe, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the Built Environment Public Health Clearinghouse. This is a partnership that has grown over the years with a number of organizations that you'll see I also have no relationships to disclose. So this grew out of a paper that was actually presented at the American Public Health Association in 2006 or 2005. In Boston, whichever year we were in Boston together. And I think, Russ, you were probably on the panel, too. And so Russ Lopez is one of the authors of this paper. And so after presenting this work at APHA, a number of us got together and said, there's so much information in this, in the article, where do we put it? And so we created what was then the Built Environment and Public Health Curriculum website, which focused on planning and public health training at the academic level. So it was really at the academic level just for these two disciplines and a way to move this forward. Chris already highlighted the national prevention strategy, and I just wanted to highlight again that the charge here is to focus on maintaining a skilled, cross-trained, and diverse prevention workforce and to integrate health criteria into decision-making where appropriate across multiple sectors. And we see that, you know, this is really targeting the workforce, not just training students, which is where we started the effort, but really focusing on the workforce itself, which has many, many more people than those who are in school training right now. And so based on that early work, we put together an expert panel that was supported by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in 2012. This was hosted at the School of City and Regional Planning at Georgia Tech, and supported by the National Network of Public Health Institutes, as well as CDC. NNPHI was an early partner in this effort and continues to be. And as we designed the expert panel, we wanted to make sure that we had participants from community design, and those included both the academic voices as well as the practice voices. And you can see the list of participants there. In the picture on the bottom right, we have, can anyone recognize the two who are pictured? Bill Klein and Mitch Silver, both planning leaders, and Chris is covered by the paper that Bill is holding. And then our public health participants, again, academic and practice. You can see that we have on the academic side IOM, APHA, the Association of Schools of Public Health. I guess that would be Schools and Programs of Public Health perhaps now. And then on the practice side, again, APHA, CDC, NACHO, NMPHI, NRC, PHF. So a number of organizations, so their voices and their perspectives were really integrated into what we were able to do. And what we charged them to come up with was to recommend ways to ensure that the current and future professionals in the public health planning and design sectors are able to identify and respond to new and emerging opportunities and threats in the built environment that impact public health. And so a pretty big charge. We had 2 days together. So we got to some of it, and the rest of it is for us to continue to work out. As we concluded our time together, here are a few things that we found to be important. So we said that for the academic pipeline, we needed to produce new, highly trained professionals. And so the approaches that we thought would be appropriate to do that include umbrella courses, like a public health and built environment course. How many of you have taken or teach a built environment and public health course? So I see a number in the audience, some of my current and past students. Certificates and specializations, and there are a number of universities that are offering certificates and specializations at this intersection of not just planning and public health, but transportation, architecture, and so on, and those are growing. And health impact assessment. And then the highest level really are these joint degree programs. And there are a number of joint degree programs that exist and a number more that are in process. The second approach is to ensure that all new, highly trained professionals have a base of knowledge about built environment and health issues. And so, you know, you may be a student or you may be training students in a base transportation class or architecture class or even landscape architecture class, and you really just don't have the time to do kind of a full curriculum that's available on the clearinghouse in the course of your semester, or you may not have the time to do a certificate. But there are modules, topics, data sources that you can integrate so the students have some sense of what's of what the experience and the evidence base is in the other discipline, and vice versa. And then on the current workforce, we wanted to provide existing public health and community design professionals with accessible interdisciplinary training in these emerging areas. And so we know from the full list of professional organizations that there are so many places we can go to find a webinar or to find a PowerPoint or to find this and that. And sometimes it can be overwhelming, especially if you're just trying to figure out where do I start. And so the Clearinghouse is meant to provide a central place where you can find a lot of that information that's really been curated to say these are really some of the top resources in this area, so you don't have to do that curation. You can find that in this space. And so as we surveyed respondents, 200 or 300 leaders in public health and community design across the country following the expert panel, one of the comments really stuck out to us, and they said that there seems to be a lot of opportunities for current students who will take some time to reach decision-making authority in their careers. And so the more immediate need really is for continuing education and cross-sector collaboration or education opportunities for those currently in the workforce. And so that's the charge that we decided to move along with as we continue to develop the Built Environment and Public Health Clearinghouse. You can see in 2009, this is a snapshot from the University of Virginia, of a Built Environment and Public Health class. I think that's me in the blue with a different hairstyle. And then on the bottom picture, we can see from last year's APA meeting, those of us who are here in the room with the Acting Surgeon General. And so the Built Environment and Public Health Clearinghouse is a resource for training at the university and professional levels and a source for relevant news at this critical intersection of community design and public health. So here's a shot of the homepage. There's Surgeon General Lushniak at the American Planning Association meeting talking about the clearinghouse, which is really exciting to have. Highlighted, the clearinghouse has also been highlighted in the National Prevention Strategy report to the White House earlier this year. And so we have the blog, upcoming events, academic training, professional training, the glossary, and news and events that are updated weekly. There are also a number of discipline-specific resources, so you can see architecture, health impact assessment, planning, transportation, engineering highlighted there. We are populating a public health page as well, so there are the public health resources that intersect with the community design, not just community design that intersects with public health. But highlighting HIA, you can see that it's organized by academic resources and then schools that may be doing work around the area of HIA, professional training that includes conferences, guides and primers, in-person training, organizations, webinars, and then model HIAs. The other disciplinary tabs also follow a similar architecture for topics. Accessing webinars, there are over 100 webinars that we've curated from a variety of sites that we think are high quality in the top in the various areas there. And so as you have students or you have colleagues that are looking for resources on just to get a jump start on a particular topic at the intersection of this area, you can find planning webinars, but also transportation, architecture, public health as you toggle through the website. Guides and primers are also available for you to take a look at, and so these are there as well. And then model HIAs, a number of these come from the SOFIA, the work that SOFIA has done on health impact assessments, also from some recent work that Keisha Pollack at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, Andy Dannenberg, and myself, and two others or three others have done around model curricula and training on health impact assessment. And so those resources are there, including the model HIAs. This is perhaps my favorite page because I'm kind of a data geek. And so this page has data and assessment resources, and I was privileged to meet a new friend from Boston. Is it Michael in the back? Barry. I call my kids different names. I probably shouldn't have said that. But so we have resources here on data and assessment that includes areas of community, health, housing, policy, and transportation, and all of these data and assessment resources are available for free for the community to access and use as they begin to understand the intersections between health and place in the areas in which they're trying to impact, as well as training their students on how to use these joint data sources in the work that they're doing. When we sent out our newsletter 2 months ago, we have a quarterly newsletter. We found, thanks to the magic of SurveyMonkey or MailChimp, that the majority of people were looking for funding. Surprise, surprise. And so we have a host of funding resources that are listed. The most recent one is this EPA NIH Centers of Excellence on Environmental Health Disparities Research. There's another one that should be posted in the next day or two that is supported by the Beaumont Foundation and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And so as you're looking for funding opportunities, you'll see them there. I know that Anne is going to talk about the opportunities through APA, and once that is available, that will also be posted. And we are looking forward to putting resources here as well on guides to grants and a host of things that may be of interest to the community as they're developing funding at this intersection. This is just an initial look at the glossary that I think Matt may talk a bit more about, and so I'll leave that for Matt. News and events, including blogs, job opportunities, employment opportunities, and our e-newsletter, and then our clearinghouse blog. And the blog that will be posted in the next few days is authored by Alfonso Morales on a food wiki. So those of you who are interested in food, local food, that would be, I think, a neat resource for you. And if you have not yet subscribed to the Clearinghouse, please do so. You can find that here at the subscribe action button. And I also have some handouts that you can take with you to learn more about what we're doing at the Clearinghouse. Thank you so much, and I look forward to your questions.